Yes, indeed.
Andrew, Stephen Mayne, shareholder. You did tell the Fin Review in February that, I think the quote was something like, for reasons well known to Mr. Scott, I have absolutely no respect for him whatsoever. Now, the presumption was that this relates to the proceedings that are taking place against us over the S8 commissions, where there's a potential fine of up to $44 million in what's being alleged against us. Is that what you were referring to in your description of saying why you had no respect for Mr. Scott? And where does the liability lie there? When we bought S8, did we receive an indemnity from Mr. Scott and other owners about any future liabilities that arose, such as this potential $44 million hit now? And it would be good to hear from Mr. Scott as to where that all sits, what the state of play is. And I'm, as a shareholder, I'm particularly interested in where the liability lies if this goes badly for us.
Let me say firstly, in relation to the indemnity, I'm of course on the board at the time, so I'll hand it over to Craig, who was Deputy CEO at the time, in terms of the indemnity. In terms of both remarks passed between Mr. Scott and others about me and them, warmly reciprocating what was said to one another, for reasons well known to him now, he recognises the regard I have for him. So I'll now hand over to Craig and let him elaborate on the indemnity.
Stephen, I don't believe there was an indemnity when we bought the SA business. However, in relation to the action by the Office of Fair Trading, however, we have now obviously sold the business in the joint venture with CBC, and that's about that organisation.
But if the court says someone's got to pay $44 million, is that us 35%, CVC 65%, or is there any recourse back to Stella, back to S8?
Back to S8. S8 is part of the Stella Group that's now owned 65% by CVC, and the liability lies with that organisation.
Right. A couple of things. Is Phil Adams on the payroll today?
He's not on the MFS limited payroll today.
Within the group?
His salary today?
Yeah.
I don't know that detail off the top of my head, sorry.
Believe you haven't ended it already.
The company is being wound up and he's being made redundant. So we're not advancing any further funds, and we have not advanced any funds since early January to that organisation. So if that company has paid him a salary, that would be from money that they already have within that entity.
What's the size of the book loss that we're going to announce specifically related to Stella? We've spent $2.2 billion buying it. We've sold it apparently at an enterprise value of 1.4, 1.5. I'm presuming that means we're going to take a haircut. It's the actual figure we're going to declare on that.
I can't answer that question, Stephen, until we have the ability to release our half-year accounts.
I'm not asking for the half-year accounts. How much did you spend? How much was Stella in the books at when you last signed off on the accounts?
Obviously, the sale of Stella is a material subsequent event that is currently being worked on in the half-year review. Once that's completed and released to the market, then we'll be able to answer that question.
But it is a loss of hundreds of millions of dollars, isn't it, clearly?
When we announce the half-year result, I'll be able to answer that question. It's inappropriate for me to answer the question prior to that, particularly in a forum that's not to the entire shareholder base.
And one for you. One more for Craig.
There are hands up. I'm coming back
here. I think there's a very simple explanation for that, Craig. Within that 7 days, you suddenly needed half a billion dollars of new money from shareholders, having already drained many of us of well over $1 billion. I mean, this is not rocket science. You guys completely changed your story on your capital requirements and suddenly came from nowhere saying, give us another half a billion dollars. That's why the thing tanked. It's not Charlie Green's fault. It's the fact that this board did a massive backflip and just totally changed the strategy. And for you to be calling on regulators to look at market commentators is one of the most disingenuous things I've ever heard. I mean, the fact of the matter is this company is sinking under a huge amount of debt. You're embarking on a fire sale of all your assets. You've been suspended for 70 days. You haven't put out your half-year results. Most of the board's been margin called. The chairman's just said he's about to walk off. You were Michael King's understudy. This thing is a complete debacle. And we're having discussions about, you're going to try and recreate shareholder value, it's Charlie Green's fault, you can't work out why everyone reacted the way they did. I mean, this is ridiculous. You guys have not faced up to what's happened here. Is that you're in crisis, you're in workout, 333 quarter Mentha are basically running the company, selling off all the assets, none of us have got a chance to sell. All of you directors, or a lot of you directors, including the founders, are going to be cleaned out by margin calls the day the stock comes back on. And you as the CEO are in court in 9 days' time being sued by Citibank for $350,000 on your own margin calls. So how are you running this company whilst you're facing your own personal bankruptcy? I mean, how do you deal with that, with your own margin lenders suing you right now whilst you're in the middle of a crisis?
My personal matters with before the courts, and I think that's a matter between myself and my lawyers. You made some statements about my bankruptcy, which I'm not sure where you got those.
Well, you've been sued for $356,000.
You've made a lot of comments there. All I can say is we're working very hard. We're taking a lot of positive steps about rebuilding this company. I've answered a question that was asked by one of your fellow shareholders, and you know, I was asked my opinion, and I've given that. I think we've got an extremely good board here. I think that they are going to add value, and if we're unable to work through the processes, we can rebuild shareholder value.
Right.
Chairman, can we just have a bit of a discussion about the Premium Income Fund as to what's happened here? We've raised $770 million from the public, 11,000 punters, through financial planners, commissions, all that sort of usual stuff. We've got a loan for $184 million from the Royal Bank of Scotland, which we've defaulted on, or the Premium Income Fund has defaulted on. So we're talking $1 billion here. Where is it actually gone?
Stephen, this is a meeting of the shareholders of Invest Limited, not the Premium Income Fund.
But they've asked for a $50 million top-up from us. So in you're resisting that at the moment. So my question specifically for this MFS board, which is currently being asked to hand over another $50 million. This is called MFS Premium Income Fund. It is an associated body. We've drawn management fees, etc., from it. It's been a squillion-related party transaction with developments across leisure, across diversified, various things. The press reports have said that the MFS Premium Income Fund was used effectively as a private bank by this board. Now, what I'm asking you is, where's the $1 billion actually gone? What is it tied up in, such that they want an extra 50 from us and you can't even, the fund can't even repay $184 million to its bank? Where is the money?
Stephen, you can look up the annual report for the MFS Premium Income Fund. It'll go through the entire asset base within that entity. It's independently audited by PricewaterhouseCoopers. If you go on the website, there's fact sheets that again break down the whole asset base within that portfolio, and any related party transactions have been disclosed at all times.
Stephen,
last two issues. The CFO we hired, who then didn't turn up, who's actually performing the CFO function at the moment? And Craig was quoted, I think, on February 5 saying that KPMG performing non-audit functions was a, quote, legacy issue. Obviously, we're in pretty difficult negotiations with KPMG right now to get them to sign the accounts. I'm guessing that's the number one reason why no accounts have turned up, is that no auditor will sign them. Are we still paying them for any non-audit services, this legacy issue which Craig referred to on February 5 in the press?
Stephen, the CFO of MFS today is Mr. David Anderson. The legacy issue, as I've referred to it, was many years ago, KPMG did provide services outside of audit to the group. Today, they only provide audit services to the group.